This podcast is brought to you by Radio Reverb. If you like what you hear, please support us by donating online at radioreverb.com.
The What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Now, did you know that the founder of the RSPCA was a man from the west of Ireland? Or that the founder represented County Galway in Westminster as part of the Parliament of the United Kingdom back in the 1800s. Well, the man in question was Richard Martin and was better known as Humanity Dick, a nickname that was given to him by King George IV. He's been described as a father of animal rights, a celebrity duelist and a rolling financial disaster. And now he's also the subject of a one-man show coming to the Brighton Fringe with daily performances between the 8th and 11th of May. And Sean Leonard, the man behind the show, joins me now. Hello, Sean.
How are you doing, Anthony?
Not too bad. Well, Richard Martin sounds a bit of a character, isn't he?
His life story is almost unbelievable. The fact that it is all true is just absolute gold, really, for the show. He really blazed a trail, quite literally, in many cases, through the late 1700s and into the 1800s. And his life story was quite remarkable and a great subject for a show, I think, anyway.
So his kind of background, he was in, he did make it to the Parliament in the UK, but what was his kind of background before that?
Well, he was born in Galway in the middle of the 1700s and into a very, very, very wealthy family. They were the Martin family. If anybody's familiar with the tribes of Galway, the original Norman families that had founded Galway back in the early 1200s, rather, the Martins had built up a lot of wealth over the years and eventually ended up owning all of Connemara by the middle of the 1700s. It was actually the largest landed estate in Britain or Ireland. They had over 200,000 acres of, mostly muck and bog, but it was still rather large. And Richard was born into that family in the middle of the 1700s in Ballinahinch, actually, which is now their family home was in Ballinahinch out in the middle of Connemara. And it's now a very, very well-known hotel out there, Ballinahinch Castle Hotel. But Richard, as a young man, became well-known and kind of distinguished himself for two very, very unusual traits at the time. One was somewhat less unusual, but it was an overfine sense of honour. I mean, at the time, it was well known that any young gentleman of privilege could not truly call himself a gentleman unless he could say that he had blazed, which was that he had taken part in a duel. But Richard was extraordinarily sensitive to questions of honour, and he, at a very young age, he became a very, very well-known duelist. In fact, within a couple of years of going into his 20s, he was known universally as Hair Trigger Dick, which was his first sobriquet or nickname, as it was. But the other thing that set him apart and the other thing that carried with him through to the end of his life was his absolute passion for animal welfare, which was even more unusual at the time. He was particularly interested in promoting the welfare of animals throughout his entire life.
And how did that kind of develop then into adulthood? How did he get involved with animal rights and politics?
Well, he succeeded his father as a Member of Parliament in the Dublin Parliament, in Grattan's Parliament, as it was called, where the Bank of Ireland in Dublin is now, if people are familiar with College Green there, in the 1770s and into the 1780s. Now, he wasn't really campaigning for animal welfare at that stage. He was too busy getting married and having various personal misadventures and spending a lot of borrowed money as well that was borrowed on the back of the estate. And dueling, of course, in his early years. He was called Hairdrigger Dick at that stage. But it was in later years that that he started to enforce animal welfare protection measures on his own estate in Connemara. He was known as the King of Connemara. He had absolute, complete and utter control over the entire area. And he was in the habit of arresting his own tenants and rowing them out onto the lake in Ballinahinch, lecturing them on animal husbandry, and then locking them in the old castle that had belonged to the O'Flahertys in Gráinne Mhaoil at one stage on the lake in Ballinahinch, and leaving them there for two or three nights to think about what they'd done. So his tenants in Connemara were the trial runs, I suppose, for the animal welfare legislation that he later campaigned for in Westminster after the Act of Union in 1801. He spent 20 years, or thereabouts, in Westminster, constantly harrying and campaigning and trying to introduce animal welfare legislation, much to the absolute amusement and great hilarity of other parliamentarians. There was quotes which I actually was lucky enough to be able to lift from the direct records of Parliament, such as, why is Mr. Martin so obsessed with this preposterous notion of defending dumb beasts, you know? And there was much laughter and mirth whenever he'd be trying to introduce animal welfare legislation, which many parliamentarians thought was quite beneath the honour of the Parliament. But he was never too cowed by other parliamentarians. He had given up duelling at this stage for rather tragic reasons, which could become apparent in the play, but his reply to one parliamentarian who questioned his reason for campaigning to protect animals was that he looked him in the eye across the parliament and he said, "Because, sir, an ox cannot hold a pistol." So that was his excuse for taking up the mantle of protecting animals.
Right.
And finally, after many, many years of constant derision and absolute dismissal in many, many cases, he managed to gather an alliance of supporters together who finally brought through the very first animal welfare legislation in the world in the early 1820s. And this immediately became known as Martin's Law. So he is the father of animal protection in every way imaginable. There's no vagueness at all about it. He was the singular force behind the introduction of animal protection measures in Parliament in London, and ultimately the spread of animal welfare legislation all around the world.
That's amazing, though, isn't it? For a guy from kind of the west of Ireland to be a pioneer really for animal rights here in the UK, such a legacy, great legacy, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I mean, in so many ways, he was such a contradiction, because this overfine sense of his honour, which got him into quite a lot of trouble, many, many duels, none of which he lost, by the way. He was plugged by a couple of balls of lead as he went along the way, but he never went down. That was such a medieval concept in so many ways, and the way that he ruled over his estate was quite almost like a Gaelic chieftain of old, you know. And yet, on the other side of his personality was this very modern and enlightened attitude towards animal welfare and towards human rights as well. I mean, he campaigned with Wilberforce in Parliament for abolition of slavery, and he campaigned for law reform and for penal reform as well, at a time when people cared even less about prisoners than they did about animals, you know. Mm. So he was a very contradictory character in so many ways, you know, both in his professional life and, of course, in his personal life as well. So a very, very interesting man.
What kind of sparked your interest in him? Because I'll be honest, I'd never heard of him before.
Yeah, he'd be known somewhat, particularly amongst older people around Galway, and he'd be known fairly well in Connemara. There'd always be talk about Humanity Dick and around Ballinahinch Castle. But the younger generations around Galway, many, many people would never even have heard of him. Now, I started off doing a bit of tour guiding on the side in Galway many years ago now, and I came across the name Humanity Dick and Richard Martin, and there's a couple of buildings in Galway City that are associated with them. But as time went on, I did some more research on him, and I began to learn more about him, and I was reading it, and I was going, good Lord, is this actually true, you know? And as I went on, I discovered that this man had this most remarkable life, where he sailed through life as this incredible heroic figure in one way, and this man who had such a litany of follies and silly decisions along the way as well, you know. And eventually I became just so consumed by it, and I think my friends became so sick of listening to me talking about it in the pub that I decided that I had to do something with it. So thus was the play born, and much to my pleasant surprise, it's been quite a success here in Galway and around the West since it debuted 2 years ago at the Galway Fringe. I did 5 nights at the Galway Fringe in 2016, and it sold out every single night. It was a real local word-of-mouth hit, you know. And since then, I've performed at a modest string of venues around the West here. I've done the Clifton Arts Festival as well, and I've had nearly full houses or full houses at almost every show. So it's been very, very pleasantly surprising and surprisingly successful so far, you know.
Fantastic. And tell me more about the show itself then. How long are we talking, the show itself? Because it's a one-man show, isn't it?
It is a one-man show, and it runs in 2 acts. I mean, I had to squeeze quite a lot in, and I shaved it down to be as short as I could. So it's a very, very action-packed 2 acts of about 40 minutes in each act. So about 80 minutes in total, or just a little bit less. And along the way, I play Richard Martin himself, taking the audience through his life story and the campaigns that I've already described, and a couple of duels as well. His misadventures with his wife. He was cuckolded twice, unfortunately. Once with no less than Theobald Wolfe Tone, whom you may have heard of, when Theobald Wolfe Tone was staying in his house here in Galway as a tutor for his younger half-brothers, he was dilly-dallying with Richard Martin's wife, which gives us some insight into Tone's character as well. He was certainly not risk-averse, but later he was cuckolded by an English plantation owner by the name of John Petrie. Who met Richard and his wife in Paris while they were in exile in Paris, actually, in the late 1780s, for financial reasons, shall we say. He was never great with money. But along the way, I bring people through his life story, and I play Richard himself and a variety of other people that he met along the way. So we meet the likes of Seanine Wyke Fettin O'Kneela, who would be a tenant of Richard's from out in Connemara and who gets to go for a bit of a row on the lake with Richard. And we also meet a couple of his opponents. There is a horse-headed young English aristocrat who unwisely asserts at Cambridge when Richard is a student that all Irishmen are half ape on their mother's side. Needless to say, he comes to regret that statement fairly rapidly. There's a variety of parliamentarians, including the rather dreary Mr. Hume, who is a Scottish parliamentarian, who asks Mr. Martin, should we forbid ourselves from eating oysters and boiling innocent lobsters if we are to offer animals protection? And it goes on a little bit like that. Towards the end, the former resident of Brighton, the Prince Regent himself, whom you refer to as George IV as he became, but he was the Prince Regent initially when Richard first became friends with him in the early 1800s. And they were genuinely good friends, actually. And there is a baptismal scene, as you alluded to at the beginning of the interview there, where his most famous sobriquet is granted to him by the Prince Regent just towards the very, very end of the play. And that's a scene that may well have taken place in a very significant building in Brighton. But we shall see if that's revealed in the play itself.
Brilliant. And is this your first time in Brighton, let alone the Brighton Fringe?
No, one of the main reasons that I can afford to travel to the Brighton Fringe is that my brother-in-law is living in Brighton for the last number of years. So he's very kindly been volunteered to put me up for the week. So I, myself, my wife and our kids have been over a couple of times over the years. And needless to say, we love visiting Brighton. It's like the kind of the bigger, hipper version of Galway with nice weather, I like to think of it, you know.
Well, it's the play itself sounds like a lifetime of plots from Coronation Street, or Hollyoaks even, probably more racier than Coronation Street.
There is one bedroom scene involving a discovery of an indiscretion of sorts. It's rather dramatic stuff, all right, by times, you know.
Brilliant. And again, I suppose kind of going back to Richard's kind of connection with animal welfare, the RSPCA are going to be somewhat involved around the show, you were telling me a bit off air.
Yeah, well, I always like to try when I'm doing the show to make some sort of a connection locally with a movement that might feel that they have a connection with Richard and with his life. And I suppose supporters of the RSPCA may well have heard of him. But when I contacted the Brighton RSPCA, they run an animal shelter there just in Brighton, and they were more than happy to hear that the play was coming. They had heard of him. And Junkyard Dogs, the venue which is hosting the show, agreed to allow the local RSPCA to come and fundraise around the show. So they'll be collecting a bit of money, hopefully, from the punters as well, if they feel so inclined after the show at the venue. And as well, they're hoping to have a little display about Richard Martin and his role in founding the first Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. He was one of the founding members. It was founded in 1824 at a coffee shop called Old Slaughter's in London, which I'm sure was a deliberately ironic venue that was chosen. So he's known universally as one of the fathers of all the SPCAs around the world, and I'm delighted to be able to hopefully help out the local SPCA or RSPCA there in Brighton.
Brilliant. Well, listen, Sean, I'm very much looking forward to it. The play itself is called Humanity Dick, A Tale of Beasts and Bullets. And it goes from the 8th to 11th of May, as you said, at Junkyard Dogs in Kemp Town here in Brighton. How do people find out more about the play ahead of time?
So all the details and booking is available on brightonfringe.org. If people just go to brightonfringe.org and search Humanity Dick, they'll find it pretty quickly. And I also have a Facebook page that's Humanity Dick Martin on Facebook. And I have a Twitter handle there as well. That's at Hair Trigger Dick. I decided to go with his earlier moniker for Twitter.
Perfect. Well, listen, Sean, best of luck with the run.
Well, I'm really, really looking forward to it. And of course, any support from the Irish community in Brighton would be much appreciated. It'd be great to see some other pasty faces in the crowd.
But Sean, listen, the best of luck when you're over, and have a good week.
You've been listening to a Radio Reverb podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review, and to hear more podcasts like this, check out RadioReverb.com.